Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello, I'm Andrew McDermott. Today, my guest is chemist Marcos Eberlin. Eberlin is a member of the Brazilian Academy of Sciences and holds a PhD in chemistry from the University of Campinas. The former president of the International Mass Spectrometry Foundation, Eberlin has published close to 1,000 scientific articles. He is author of the new book, Foresight: How the Chemistry of Life Reveals Planning and Purpose. Marcos, welcome back to the show.
Oh, Andrew, it's my pleasure to be back, and especially to talk about the evidence for intelligent design as related to foresight.
Absolutely. You have a new book, Foresight, and in it you uncover a myriad of artful solutions to major engineering challenges in chemistry and biology, solutions that point beyond the power of blind evolutionary mechanisms to the workings of an attribute that's unique to minds, and that is foresight. Your book is full of examples of foresight in the natural world, from jumping insects with real gears to microscopic protein machines in a bird's eye that may work like GPS to harness quantum entanglement. In the chapters of your book, you illuminate the chemistry at the heart of life and how these processes require foresight. Well, today I'd like to discuss some of the examples you provide in your book, but let me start with your thoughts on another recent project, our Science Uprising video series. I'm sure, like the rest of us, you've been watching them and enjoying them. In particular, episode 5, called The Origin of Life, features Dr. James Tuer, a respected synthetic organic chemist and professor at Rice University. And he discusses the state of origin of life research today. He says many of the claims being made about the origin of life are just ridiculous. Scientists in the origin of life research community extrapolate the data, and the media in turn extrapolates it some more, and then we end up with a public that is misled and confused. So first, can you comment on Dr. Tuer's evaluation of origin of life studies?
Oh yes, Andrew. I also like very much this new series of videos, the Science Uprising. And particularly, I like this episode number 5 because it talks about chemical evolution. And I think chemical evolution is really important. And I also enjoy very much listening to the comments from Dr. Tuer, the top chemist. He's excellent in many ways. And he classifies chemical evolution as fallacious, ridiculous, and a bunch of nonsense. And I would say that most chemists were certainly shocked because we all have been indoctrinated to believe in chemical evolution, which together with cosmic and biological evolutions are theories that have been sold to us as more a law than gravity. But as an organic chemist myself, who already went out of this Darwinian box, I perfectly understand Dr. Tuer's indignation with chemical evolution and fully agree with him. For instance, when I hear from the media or when I read papers publishing top scientific journals declaring, for instance, that we are close to make synthetic life or protocells, that gases and discharges, like in the Miller experiments, could have created the right chemical soup for life to rise and persist, and also molecular rudiments, such as ordinary micelles, could have been the cradle of life. I have no other way as to fully agree with the adjectives that Dr. Tuer used to describe chemical evolution. They are really insane assumptions. And I would actually add more. Chemical evolution is also impossible. Actually, it's many, many times impossible. It's humiliating impossible. So it's really nice that we are finally discussing the chemical arguments behind chemical evolution, and we are really telling now the truth to the whole world. Chemical evolution is many, many times impossible.
So when we're listening to folks in the Origin of Life research community, we ought to have a big bucket of salt sitting next to us and get a big handful of it to go with whatever they're saying about whatever study. because that's what it sounds like. We really need to take it with a pinch of salt, a large pinch of salt, so that we don't fall victim to the extrapolation that occurs.
Sure, yes. We come to the lab and we conduct the experiments with a lot of intelligence. And then we try the best we can to simulate life on our lab. And we failed. We know that it's nearly impossible to us to create anything even similar to life. But yet we tell to the whole world that we are close to make it. It is really something that we, as scientists, should never do. You know, trying to tell to the whole world that we are capable of doing something that we are not. Because life is extremely intelligent and requires a lot of foresight, require much more than we chemists can do. And for sure, therefore, we should surrender to the data. We should surrender to the chemical evidence. We should tell the whole world we are not even close to make life in the laboratory. Why? Because it is far, far more intelligent than us. And we should then tell them to the whole world that the only cause that could have created life in this planet is an intelligent mind. So let's speak clearly to the whole world that an intelligent mind is the only cause of life.
So a couple hundred years ago, they looked at the cell as a globule of protoplasm, or as Michael Behe puts it, the black box that Darwin knew about but didn't know what was inside. And that's one thing that Dr. Tour mentions in those videos, is we know what's inside now. We're getting a good idea of it, and that's why Origin of Life research is further away than ever from creating life or fully understanding what it takes to create life. Well, let's just start with a cell membrane, right? The outer layer of a cell. Why does that take foresight?
Oh, Andrew, you look at the molecules on those membranes and you find spectacular molecules there. From a chemical point of view, they are really truly amazing molecules. And you don't need just a single molecule. Actually, you look at the membranes and you see that only a specific cocktail of very ingenious molecules, these phospholipids, could form a bilayer with molecules that expose their polar heads to either the interior or the exterior of the cell. And only this cocktail of phospholipids could make a hollow ball while creating a no-polar, stable, resistant, round and flexible protecting barrier. It's a lot of intelligence required. It's chemical engineering of a protecting bilayer. And worse for this micelle scenario that the evolutionists have proposed, only a cocktail of phospholipids with a finely tuned synergistic summation of properties is known to be able to maintain this shape and sufficiently flexible and stable in the long term. These phospholipids are truly, truly amazing molecules. They were, in an act of very ingenious foresight, selected to protect life because in water they are self-induced by their very unique chemical properties of water plus their own very unique properties to couple in a very specific way. They go up and down in those pairs and they pack side by side. And also to fully hide their water-hating legs from water, they form this hollow ball. And life needs this whole arrangement of molecules. So how come that this could arise from an unguided process in this primordial soup? There's no way. You need a lot of intelligence. You need a chemist, a superb chemist to do it.
Well, and later on in our conversation, we will talk about, well, don't you just need time? And what else would you need besides time? We'll get into all that. But these examples are just fascinating of the amazing machinery in the cell. What about protein folding? Most proteins, as we know, must fold themselves into a functional 3D shape. Can you explain some of the foresight needed there?
Well, Andrew, to make a protein, you have to connect small molecules that they call amino acids. And you are connecting those molecules and you make a wire, a molecular wire, very long wire. And then you need to fold this wire into proper shapes for the proteins to be functional. But there's no machine there to do it. The wires should fold by themselves. The chemical force involved in the attractions in this wire should, at the end, make a form that is functional. So it's a nightmare for chemical engineering to solve this problem. So what was the solution? Well, the wires, they should attract themselves in a proper way. So in a chemical point of view, side groups were added to this wire. Think like for the side groups as Lego connectors. And by placing the side groups properly along the wire, and by calibrating the force they attract each other, ingenious mind was able to predict the final summation of force, the final result of this amazing interplay of electromagnetic forces, so as to obtain the right shape. So even the most sophisticated computers in this planet would have a lot of trouble to calculate it. But yet, you know, all the proteins in our body, they know exactly what shape they should arise at. And all the connectors in these wires, the force that they attract themselves, are perfectly calibrated, finely tuned, so that the final shape will be a functional shape, useful for the cell. So it requires a lot of foresight, planning, a lot of knowledge of physical chemistry is involved, and only a mind can do it. Only intelligent design could explain chemical evolution. Only an intelligent mind could predict all this interplay of electromagnetic force and could calculate the proper shapes for the proteins to be functional.
Yeah. Well, it's so interesting, and I'm so glad you've put together a book that really focuses on one of the main attributes of mind, and that is foresight. So we're going to get more into that, but I just want to ask you about another example before we close this episode. We'll continue this with a second episode, but for now, tell us a little bit about molecular chaperones. These are amazing structures in the cell. What do they do?
Oh, Andrew, the chaperones are also amazing. Oh, the whole chemistry of life is amazing. You know, these protein wires, they must fold by themselves. But this folding is really complicated business because there are so many different shapes that those wires could acquire. And then you see in life that even though the most stable form of those proteins are functional forms, sometimes some proteins, they fail to find the proper shape. They are trapped in some wells, and those wells are not related to the proper shape. So they need help to keep folding to the right shape. And for this help, the chaperones came. Chaperones are really amazing molecules because they're big molecules, giant molecules, but they can fit inside those proteins that are trying to find the proper shape. And as the proteins enter those hollows, those cages, the chaperones, they just squeeze this folding protein, punch them, provide energy for them to rearrange. And in this process, they have a better chance to find the proper shape. and they will do it. It's amazing. So chaperones were a really nice solution for a very complicated business of protein cell folding. Even though the most stable form is a functional form, those functional forms sometimes are hard to find. And chaperones come into rescue. They are really amazing because they know exactly what to do. They accommodate the selfing proteins inside. And after that, fully functional protein is formed. Isn't that amazing? I love chaperones in many ways, in a chemical point of view, because it's chemistry at its very best.
That is amazing. And we'll actually mention that in our next episode a little bit more. But that's all the time we have for now. We're going to finish the conversation, provide more examples of foresight from your book in a follow-up episode. So do look for that. Markus, thanks for your time. It's so nice to have a world-renowned chemist on the show to help us appreciate the foresight evident in the chemistry and biology of life. I look forward to finishing this conversation with you.
Oh, Andrew, evolution hopes you don't know chemistry. I heard that once, and I always enjoy talking about chemistry because it tells us the true story of life. So I'm looking forward to talking to you again in the next episode about the chemistry of life.
Well, for more of Markus Eberlund's great arguments for intelligent design, pick up a copy of his book, Foresight, How the Chemistry of Life Reveals Planning and Purpose. And for more episodes like these, visit idthefuture.com or find it through your favorite podcasts app. For ID the Future, I'm Andrew McDermott. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.